Hey guys, the show is about ready to start, but really quick, I wanted to grab your attention, tell you to have a pencil and paper ready. I have some very important information you're going to want to stick around for after the show regarding updated contact information, websites, and more. Everything's changed. Holy cow. What do I mean? Everything's ready to start. I gotta run. Stick around after the show and I'll get you filled in.
Welcome to this podcast. Get ready. Here we go.
GOST Radio proudly presents Random Illusions, the podcast where the occult community goes for its listening pleasure. I'm your host, Shasta Ray. Grab a cup of coffee, grab a cup of tea, or grab a glass of wine at the end of a long day if that's what you want to do. Kick back, settle in, and hang out with me for just a little bit while we chat it up about magic. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. It has been 2.5 months. Tim, how are you? What are you doing these days?
Oh, well, up to a lot of dad stuff. I'm crafting my butt off. Just got orders flying in left and right. And I wrote a book. A
little children's. Wow. What's the title of that?
It's called Playing the Stars. It's a book that aims to educate students on Native American cultural practices, particularly around music and the use of the Native American flute. And I'm combining it with Lakota and Ojibwe cosmology, and we're using it as a tool to learn how they perceive the night sky and their stories around that.
That is amazing. I'll put the link in the show notes so people can check that out. I've read it and you did a great job with it. It is wonderful. So I hope people check that out. We also have some other stuff going on. Karen Dahlman just came out with a kid's book, and I just got my copy today. She sent me a copy. So thank you, Karen. It is called When Cats Had Wings by Karen A. Dahlman and Jack. And she wrote it with one of her cats.
I was about to say, didn't she say she like channeled it from her cat or something?
Yeah. And I haven't, since I just got it in the mail about an hour ago, I haven't opened it, read it, but it looks pretty cute. I flipped through it. And gosh, our good friend Taylor Elwood has been up to some amazing stuff. Let's just throw that out there because this is really new. You know more about it than I do.
Yeah, he kind of fell into, I guess, what he's terming like a different calling for what he wants to do with his life and his time. And he started being a kind of like a lifestyle coach around the sacred masculine, that idea that they're, you know, that there is kind of a holy aspect to masculinity and that our culture has really tainted that. And it's time for us to kind of reclaim it because let's face it, men need a lot of help.
I think we all do, but I think it is amazing. He's giving men a way to focus on themselves. And he's also doing a lot of focus on self-love, which we all need. So I think that's another area dudes could pay a little more attention to for their own good. And yeah. And what's his website? You've got that?
Yeah, his website is inneralchemycoach.com. And he and I have started throwing around the idea of, you know, starting a monthly podcast, the two of us, around the sacred masculine, just kind of some bro talk, you know.
I love it. I love it.
Could be cool. So we'll see when that takes off. We're both pretty busy, but
well, you know, thanks for meeting up with me on Zoom today. We've had this podcast on hiatus. We've been taking a break and we've been just slammed and we've been working on all kinds of projects. And we've had a few things come to our attention and we thought maybe this is a great time to check in with everyone, let everyone know we're still doing all kinds of stuff and going in every direction. But also we want to make it a teaching moment because it's something we're really passionate about.
Well, we've been getting, even though we haven't been making new episodes, we've been getting quite a bit of listener mail and people, you know, we see a couple of themes coming up and like you said, after it gets over about a dozen, it feels like maybe it's something we should address. But I'm telling you, the amount of letters that are coming in about this particular topic today, it's
mind-boggling.
Yeah, there's a lot of people out there that are kind of getting fed up with some stuff, and they're, you know, they've asked us to address it. So here we are.
And well, it's not the prettiest thing in the world to talk about, but I think we can certainly relate this to just about every area of life. It's very prominent in the occult community. I think it's damaging in the occult community because people come here, not just to this podcast, but to the occult in general. They're looking for answers. Their spiritual journey isn't satisfying. They're looking for something more, and they're looking for truth. And then there's people that kind of put a monkey wrench in that. Yeah, they take advantage. They put a monkey wrench in it. You don't know who to trust. You don't know who to turn to. And we've done a lot of fraud alert stuff in the past, but we're passionate about it because we want people to find their way. It's very disheartening, and it's very hard to pick yourself up by the bootstraps when you keep getting duped, you keep getting ripped off, and then you start losing faith. And that's not fair. And we want to prevent that. We want to give people some tools to look for when people are not on the up and up and when they're up to shady activities.
And I think a lot of people who come to the occult, like, they came there because they recognized something in the religion of their upbringing that they disagreed with. Like, they saw hypocrisy they didn't like, or they realized they were being duped, or they, you know, had a bad experience with someone in authority. And so we don't want that kind of stuff to infect our communities. Like, this, you know, this is a safe haven where people come when they've been tossed out on the street by other religions. We don't want to be, you know,
yeah, we don't want to do that to them. So really, the thing is we had a past guest on this podcast that we both called a friend. We both thought we were getting to know. We both thought that we were on the same page and teaching people and helping people find their way while we found our way and learned. And it just wasn't the case. We got duped just as much as anyone. But we learned pretty quickly. Unfortunately, this person saw that we were opening our eyes and started responding accordingly. And that's what frauds do, is they get their little territory stepped on and they react because they get jealous and problematic and they become a little pimple on your butt.
But so, the thing is, you know, we recognize some things were happening. We stepped away. We tried to make it a teaching moment so other people wouldn't fall into that same pothole. And there's no shame in it. There's only shame in not learning from it.
Yeah. And unfortunately, some of the listener feedback we've been getting are rumors that have been made up against us, and a lot of smack talk and a lot of just dirty talk against us out of jealousy and being perceived as threats or whatever. And it's unfortunate, but we want to kind of preface this by saying, as we go through this episode, if you find that you fall into any of these categories we discuss and you find yourself getting tense and mad, hey, don't shoot the messenger. We're trying to help you recognize big red flags to save you the heartache that we see others go through, that we've went through. And you'll be part of an elite club that's now wiser because of your mistakes. We don't want you to fall into the same traps over and over. And the red flags are very, very obvious when you start seeing them. So we've come up with a list of top 10 things to recognize in occult fraudulent activity. Oh, and first off, one thing Tim and I have been doing a little math on is between the two of us, we have approximately 45 combined years of magic experience, but we've learned a lot. We delve into stuff, we read everything we can and find what's right for us. And that's why we ended up being friends. We both had the same approach with our curiosity. But man, some of these rumors being told about us by someone who's only been practicing, what, 10, 12 years himself? Pretty way out stuff. So kind of want to defend our own honor here. But Tim, it seems like, gosh, you're crafting talismans that you are just maliciously making stuff to make people get cancer.
Yeah, that was a weird. that was out of this world, man. It was far out. I had people who literally came to my page, my Etsy shop page, asked me for help. I took time out of my weekend to help them find some information, and then they proceeded to start name calling and accusing me of intentionally causing cancer with my pentacles. Like,
and I don't
have time to do that kind of bullshit.
Well, who would? I've gotten feedback that the tarot cards I was selling will hex people, and crystals I was selling were gonna hex people, and all kinds of, don't buy from her. Those crystals, she sells you a crystal. Yeah, those hex people. Those are twisted. I don't know what, how does, I don't know. But anyway.
But how does that help you? Like, if you were to sell objects that you had, you know, let's just say that the rumors are true and you're putting out these cursed things, I'm putting out these cursed, how does that help us?
What do we have to gain by this? Neither of us are selling remedies. why would we kill off our customers? Like, this is ludicrous. And if anyone tells you this about any crafter, about anyone out there with a metaphysical shop that's selling candles, anything, it's a red flag. Most of the time, if you look deep enough, oh gosh, the person starting those rumors happens to be selling the same thing Tim is selling. Except Tim sells it at a reasonable price, and the other individual sells it at what, three times, four times the amount you do? Three times the amount you do?
Oh, yeah. Then there's also, like, there's other things that when people are making these rumors, conveniently, they're also selling services to remove these curses for you.
Yeah.
At several times the cost of the original pendant that you bought online.
And then they're going to tell you to do wacky things like, you have to put it in salt and bury it in your backyard. Listen, here's the thing. If you buy a talisman or anything, and it is got the correct symbols on it, and it is crafted per the design that people have been using for 400 plus years, the magic is in the symbol, not some imaginary thing that this person's name now causes cancer. I don't know what they're saying. It's just ridiculous.
Well, it doesn't make sense on its face. It only makes sense if you're influenced by this person and you generally just tend to take whatever they say at face value.
Or like, people. There's others like this out there. This person's, I don't want him to feel like he's unique among other people. He isn't. He's just another scammer. And he teaches other people how to scam. He's training people. So really, in light of all this mudslinging, and we've had a good laugh over it, you got to have a tough skin when you're out in the public eye. And it's like I told people, one sign of success is you're going to have haters. You're going to have people that are threatened by you. And when you see people doing these behaviors, think about it before you react. So we've come up with some top 10 red flags to look for, specific to the occult community and some of these scams going on, that will help you look at behaviors of others and determine if they're on the up and up or not. And it may help you save a little bit of money and spend it on some books or something that's really going to help you. So let's see, where should we start? Let's go 10 down to 1. Let's do a countdown. It's kind of like Dave Letterman used to do.
10.
Number 10. These people are going to teach online classes, webinars. They're going to have products they offer in the name of learning. However, you're going to go forth into this all jazzed. You're going to learn about this topic and you're going to come out of it thinking, you are overwhelmed. It is too hard. It is too complicated. It is very intensely dangerous and scary if you do it wrong.
Emergency warning. Emergency warning.
And you're going to end up buying the magic from the person teaching it because you're going to be too scared and intimidated to try it yourself. That is one big red flag right there.
Yeah. Because now this isn't to say that anybody who teaches classes is pulling this stuff. They're not.
Or selling services. But if they're teaching, they shouldn't be making it so hard you don't want to try the material.
Right. Like the goal of a teacher is to create independent thinkers, to create people who are capable of taking what you've taught them, going out into the world and doing it. The goal of a teacher is not to get them hooked on you. You should be able to take a class, learn a thing, and go do a thing. And that should be it. That should be the end of your relationship.
Well, now, unless you're needing some help. And that individual should be somebody, if they're on the up and up, that's going to help you troubleshoot problems, that's going to give you additional information on things that you're not grasping, and help you find your own way with that topic, especially magically. Yeah.
Like, well, and same with crafters. Like, you know, when I send things out to people, I send detailed instructions on how you can, you know, use them and consecrate them and do everything yourself. And then when people come back with questions, this is going to be shocking, I answer them and I don't even charge them for it.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. Because I want them to learn. I want them to use the tool. I want them to have a better life, you know?
But if they're swooping in and saying, well, I'll just sell you that service, I'll just sell you that thing, and they're not helping you learn how to do for your own, but they're presenting themselves as an educator, there's a big disconnect there. Look for those disconnects. If it doesn't seem right in some way, there's your red flag.
9.
So, you know, in those classes, moving right along to point number 9, if they start bragging about themselves, all the work they sell to clients, they're really pushing all of their awesomeness, highlighting themselves, that class is an infomercial. It's not a class. On their social media, are they bragging about all of their clients and how much work they're selling every month? Are they posting pictures of how much they're doing? If so, why? Why do they have to brag about this? Why do they have to reveal how much they're selling? There's a red flag there.
There is. I mean, I've been a teacher for decades. I have never started a class by telling students any of my personal accolades. They don't care. And it's irrelevant to the class.
8.
Let's go to number 8. If the person teaching you, or that's prominent or whatever, has these grandiose degrees and this grandiose training and these really impressive credentials, don't be afraid to check up on it. There is no shame in that, because if they're proud of those degrees and they're proud of those credentials, they're not going to have a problem with you checking up on it. But let's just say maybe these people say they graduated with a PhD from an Ivy League college, but their current job doesn't have a bio that mentions that, or gosh, they got really intense religious training at some highly esteemed cathedral in another country, but those priests at that cathedral has never heard of that person. Well, do you really want to trust them with your personal information and casting magic for you on your behalf? I wouldn't.
Or even more mundane, do you want to trust them with your credit card number?
There you go.
I mean, and you're right, there's no shame in checking up on it. Anybody who has done the work to actually put together, you know, an advanced degree, they will be happy to tell you where they got it, maybe even a bit about their experience. What they're not going to do is shut you down and, you know, and basically give you these don't go looking into my past vibes. They're not going to obfuscate the truth because they don't need to.
7.
And they're also not going to force you to call them by these grandiose titles, because it's just a weird thing to do.
Nowadays it is. It was kind of the norm back in like the 60s and 70s, but times have changed. And the fact of the matter is, most people that are real, they're going to want to be real with you. They're going to say, listen, just call me Bob. Just call me Sally. You know, if you start calling them by a title, say you go up to them and call them Maestro, and that's all you call them, or
Sensei,
yeah,
or
teacher.
Oh, for God's sake.
If they're not sitting there going, hey, you know, that's flattering, that's cool, but listen, just call me Bob, I'm Bob, or whatever their name is, to me, that's a red flag. They're not being real, and they're letting you put them on a pedestal.
Oh, for God's sake.
They're allowing it. Why? They should be real with you.
Yeah, I mean,
especially if they present themselves as real in one way, but then they allow you to put them on a pedestal. I don't know. Kind of weird to me.
I teach mostly middle and high school kids, and even them, I have them call me by my first name. I'm not Mr. So-and-so. I'm not, you know, I don't go by any title. I just have them call me by my first name because at the end of the day, I'm not better than them. My shoes just have a few more miles.
Right. You know?
And I'm helping them navigate their adolescence, giving them knowledge that I've already received and they haven't yet. That's the only difference. I'm not better than them.
And they don't owe me. And when
that.
You can relate to your students and they can relate to you, whether they're kids or fellow adults, you teach more. You don't have that wall between you.
Oh, you're darn right. And you know what? You actually develop relationships with those people. Like, you don't keep your students at arm's length. You bring them right in. Case in point, there was a kid that I had in sixth grade about 20 years ago. And he was the first one to buy my book. He bought it for his kid. Another kid, I saw him at the mall the other day. He ran down the hallway just to give me a big old hug.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
And it was awesome. That's something that you should look for in a teacher that embraces you, not a teacher that keeps you at arm's length.
And is happy to see their students when they run into them in places. Here's another thing. If you've got someone in the community, now I've been in different hobby communities, all sorts of stuff. You meet people online. And of course, it's scary these days. But if you're networked with people that you've been communicating with and they're flying through your city and they want to have lunch with you or something, you've helped them a lot. Or they've helped you a lot. And then suddenly they ghost you and they live in a major city, but they won't meet up with you for lunch at a public place or anything after you've been communicating for months. We hear this about this individual a lot too. People will be travelers. They fly through the major city he claims to live in and doesn't. And he ghosts them.
Yeah, that's just bizarre.
Six.
Here's another one. Tim, you're in your 40s. You look really young. Do you filter the heck out of yourself online?
I literally came back right before this recording from the store, and I'm still in my pajamas, man. I don't need to impress anybody.
So if there's someone online that's in this esteemed position and they got to use heavy filters on their profile pictures to the point they look like an anime cartoon, oh my gosh, why?
Well,
if they're in the public eye, but they still have to filter their photos.
I'll tell you why. Ego and ego attachment. And you know what? Somebody who's got an ego that big is not somebody you want to be learning spirituality from. They've got a lot of growing up to do.
And here's some extra credit on that one. Don't be afraid to do this. If you're on that person's friends list, whatever, they're posting grandiose pictures, but the storyline doesn't make sense, like they go on a European vacation, but there's only a couple pictures posted. And it's weird. Pull it out, do a reverse search on it, look at it, see if it's been photoshopped, see if it's been doctored, see if they're standing in front of that national monument, if it looks just a little bit odd in some way. It could be they sent a picture to an advertising company, had someone do Photoshop for them, all sorts of stuff. Also, if they're posting a lot of pictures that just look really beautiful to, you know, say they went out and did something, whatever, but it just looks too picture perfect, do reverse searches. Don't be afraid to do that. They could be putting Shutterstock photos on their impressive posts and stuff, and it'll paint a picture. Now, maybe they aren't. Maybe people don't. But it does happen, and we've busted people doing this, and they're all the scammers because they need you to believe stuff that isn't true about them.
Yeah, and Google Lens is such a great tool for that. It in seconds, you can reverse image search anything, even parts of a picture, not the whole picture. It's pretty awesome. So it's low effort, high reward, because then if you're able to catch somebody in this, call them out on it, then you know that you're not going to get duped by that person.
Five.
Another red flag. Were they friends with someone, really apparent, totally presented themselves themselves as buddies, whatever, working together. The community sees it. All of a sudden, they turn on these people. We've seen this over and over and over. And we thought, well, that's unusual. And then it happened to us. And if you find, like Tim mentioned, he had someone that just started going off on him. Do you find yourself going off on these horrible people based on something somebody else said on social media? If you didn't experience it yourself, you've never actually seen this yourself. Sometimes the person that's the fraud is going to try to eliminate competition. We mentioned this earlier with prices, stuff like that. Are they selling the same thing? Take a look at a lot of this. See who is the competition and are they the ones being treated like that? Are you reacting because you think the esteemed person has been wronged? So you are verbally attacking on their behalf. Guess what? You're a tool. You're being used. The reason they do that, they get in your head. You react, you defend them because they're so wonderful, but they don't want to tarnish their reputation. So they have other people do it for them.
Yeah. It's an easy way to keep your nose clean and still get the dirty work done.
And seriously, if you're doing that and you don't have any experience negatively with the person you're going off on, think about it before you open your mouth because you've probably been baited in some way or another.
Well, and I'm going to extend this caution too, because if you decide to go off on somebody in a public forum, that could be considered slander or libel, and you could have legal ramifications for the stuff that you say, which would be a real pity.
Absolutely. And these people will, they will, out of the public eye, twist the knife on you and do stuff. And you'll be seeing it until your last nerve is raw. And then all they take is one comment, one little snarky thing. You're going off on social media and suddenly you're the bad guy. No, you're not the bad guy. You were gaslighted and you were set up.
We are all familiar with gaslighting.
Yeah.
So it should be pretty easy to spot. And it's, you know, it's a really common tactic. It's really easy to do. And
when you're gaslighted, it makes you nuts and it makes you react. And then the public sees you reacting and you're the bad guy. You're the one with the problem and the anger issues. And it's usually not the case. Usually that person did so much to get you so wound up that they got you to blow up at the opportune time to make yourself look bad. And that's how they attack. It's schmarmy. It's really schmarmy. But you will see this going on as a spectator in communities, groups, not necessarily the occult. It happens in any hobby groups. People do it. They're all over. But look out for this when you're going to be spending money with people.
4.
This goes back to checking those degrees and stuff. Anybody can self-publish these days. Anybody can put out a book these days. It's not a bad idea to check that information that's being published. Sometimes people think they're publishing great stuff and it's just, they didn't fact check. It's not accurate. It's generalized. Sometimes it's completely made up. And in the world of the magic community, yeah, we've got people coming out with new ways of doing magic all the time. But how are they presenting it? Is it founded by core concepts? Does it go against core concepts? Does it make sense? It's okay to question what you're reading. And if it makes sense to you, but it's a new concept, yeah, test it out. Think about it. Ponder it first before you jump in feet first. If it makes really great sense, resonates with you, you're probably okay. But when there's words being tossed around and they don't fit, check your resources. I don't want to use a name on this one, but there is a book that came out in the past couple years that suggests for protection magic, you want to summon an incubus.
Ew.
So a bunch of people are getting raped in their dreams and then going to other magic practitioners to figure out how to unload this problem they were having in their dream state. Well, if you summon an incubus, they are a raping type of spirit. You don't want to do that for protection. That's going to be probably a strange situation you're setting yourself up for. If it doesn't make sense, don't do it. You wouldn't summon an incubus for protection. Here's another thing. Servitors.
Oh, gosh. for whatever reason, this concept, it's so simple, but it seems to escape people.
A servitor is something you create. It is your magic. You make it. You don't If it's someone else's, it's not a servitor. That goes into the direction of tulpas, egregors, that sort of thing.
Yeah, somebody else cannot make a servitor for you. They can make a servitor, and it's theirs, and they can send you a PDF saying they did it, but it ain't yours. And same thing with familiars, right? Like, you can't sell a familiar because...
That concept isn't sellable.
No, it's a familiar is when you work with a spirit closely enough that they feel that you're kind of in their inner circle, and they will bestow one upon you as a gift.
And you can request it, but it is your relationship with that spirit.
It can't be purchased. It has to be because of effort and because of faith.
And you can't go to another practitioner and go, hey, could you set me up with a contract? It doesn't work like that. There are plenty of books out there and resources that you can check this. But if somebody is suddenly on the scene selling familiars, question it. That's a money-making scam. And then when it comes to books, you know, here again, if it says that the magic in the book is servitors, and you're not the one that created the servitor, you got to question that, because you don't know what it is. It is probably going out in the direction, here again, of a tulpa that's made up of multiple conscious efforts of many people. When that's the case, it gets unstable. You don't know who's contributing to the energy.
Ew.
And at the end of the day, you could be doing magic from that book using one of those servitors. You're going to get like the energy equivalent of like an STD, right? And then you're going to have the energy equivalent of peeing and burning and not knowing why. And no one's going to be able to fix it because you got funk on you from a whole bunch of people.
Ew.
I don't mess with tulpa concepts. Go back and listen to what we taught on that. We learned a whole bunch during that series. I won't, it's unstable energy. And, you know, if the cover is like clickbait, there's another indicator right there.
Yeah. Well, make, you know, so self-publishing is not in and of itself a bad thing. It's very empowering, and it's nice that every, you know, we're kind of leveling the playing field. But it does, you know, like everything else with information these days, you just got to check to make sure the author knows what they're talking about. And maybe they do, and maybe they don't. You know, unfortunately, you don't really know until you read the book.
3.
So another red flag, this one's number 3 on the list. We kind of hit this before, but if somebody out there is bragging that they're hurting others, cursing others, hexing others, if they're bragging in some way that they sell magic that's baneful and they are knowingly selling rituals to harm innocent people, if they brag that they work for criminal circles, stuff like that, think about it before you buy from them. Are they going to be really on the up and up? Are they going to be an honest, good person?
I mean, that's kind of the same thing with anybody you buy from. Like,
would you want to go to church by somebody that's out there stealing cars and selling meth on the side during the week? You know, are they out there hurting people on one hand and then pretending to help people on the other?
Yeah, you wouldn't want to have, you know, surgery from a doctor who also moonlights as a hitman.
Yeah.
You know, and it just goes back to like wanting to deal with decent people that have a working moral compass, right? Do you want to learn spirituality from somebody who intentionally harms other people
that are innocent and admits it? They're doing it to innocent. They know they're doing it to innocent people.
This goes back to something else we talked about too, which is sometimes the practitioner does magic that hurts the person who is paying them. We talked about the people that are selling services for Anima Sola.
Oh, for God's sake.
And how the design of Anima Sola magic is that you are trading whatever it is you're doing the spell for a spot in purgatory. Anybody who cares about other people's eternal souls
wouldn't do it.
No, it wouldn't even cross their mind. It wouldn't be on the menu.
And, you know, just for perspective, you did ask Miss Aida about that spell, and her knee-jerk reaction was, oh my God, if anyone is selling that, run. Like, run.
She says she doesn't even talk to people who use it.
So, I mean, there's some perspective there. Weigh your options. If you're desperate for something, you want to jump into something because you're charged up, think on it for a while and do the magic yourself. It's not hard. You're going to have more punch. If you really have to balance the scales with someone, do it yourself. You're the one that was affected by it. And don't go to someone that's going to do magic to do stuff for people. It's just yuck on top of yuck.
Two.
And then, you know, here's another one. The next one. This is a big one. Does drama follow these people? You're going to find, especially if you're really involved in different groups, you will see this with some people. And it's happened several times in different cases. Suddenly there will be group drama. There will be a major problem. And this one person is going to identify the root of that problem and start doing magic to remedy it, right? And people may jump in and do group rituals to resolve these problems going on. But what you're going to find is all these problems are by their aliases that they set up on the groups. They set up the problem. Suddenly, they save the day. Remedy the problem because they're working diligently with magic and putting all, they're all into it round the clock. And you are too, except here again, you're a tool. There was no drama. They made it look that way so they could swoop in and save the day. End the hex that's plaguing all these people that are their aliases that you don't know about. And everyone's happy because they identified this obscure, baneful magic being done to a group of people and saved all these people from a hex.
I mean, it's really a classic tactic for creating an in-group. Anytime you want to solidify your position as a leader within an in-group, all you have to do is identify an out-group and scapegoat them. Now, that might be an individual or it might be a whole group of people. But yeah, it used to be back when humanity was a little more tribal than it is now. Little tribes would like do raids on each other all the time. They'd always be fighting about this or that or the other thing, because identifying who is in and who is other helps create group cohesion. And that's what they're doing because it generates loyalty and it puts more money in their pocket.
Yep. So they create a scenario that's totally false. They make up, I don't know, a dozen, two dozen profiles. You don't know who they are. You think they're other people. Now, they will also use those profiles to advertise. That person will comment on your post. Oh, hey, have you tried so-and-so's magic for this? You should do that. It's actually that person plugging their own magic. So be careful of that, too, especially if you get suddenly commented on by someone that you don't know, you've never interacted with, and they're just advertising the heck out of someone else's services.
Oh, it's like fake Amazon reviews.
Yeah. And then, you know, let's get to the number one.
One.
This one bothers me.
Dun, dun, dun. Dum, dum, dum.
Community leader puts out information, seems to be an esteemed, knowledgeable person, claims that they make it up, and they're not a scholar. They don't read. And they don't better themselves, but you're supposed to take their word on everything and don't go against what they say either.
Ah, yeah, the whole I know because I know.
Yeah. And, you know, the whole thing with that, learn from more than one source. Don't take one person's word on it just because you met them in a group in Facebook. They're telling you something. There is so many books and resources out there. Double check everything. Look into everything.
Yeah, because these people are. They're very my way or the highway type people. The information's usually bad. I'll use the case of Solomonic Pentacles. There's somebody out there who really gets the rocks off by making everybody scared to consecrate their own stuff.
Oh, for God's sake.
And by making it seem like the creation of pentacles is so difficult and so fraught with danger.
Warning. Warning.
And it has to be done according to this certain specific way that you have to take their class in order to learn the. I mean, it's ridiculous, because what that's actually doing is it's exposing the fact that that person doesn't know shit. Mm-hmm. About the Pentacles tradition, the Solomonic tradition, there is not one book with one way of doing things. The Solomonic tradition has so many different keys of Solomon from different countries, different languages, different time periods. They've got different instructions. They've got different pentacle sets.
Yeah.
It's not just the 44. There's hundreds of them. But the 44 that Crowley and Mathers translated is the popular version. It's just one version. And because there are so many other versions out there that are considered canon in the Solomonic tradition, I'm telling you, there's not just one way to do it.
No. And another thing we've discovered is there is not just one way of constructing them. And that is another thing that people are saying, oh, if you don't construct them right, they are going to have this reverse effect and hex you and everyone you know and generations down the line and you know, whatever.
Warning. Warning.
No, that is a fear tactic. These are talismans people have been using for 400 years. They have God energies, planetary intelligences, angelic intelligences attached. They don't just randomly go, oh, we're wonky now and we're going to do weird stuff because we don't know what we're doing. It's the divine people.
Well, that's the other thing. It's almost blasphemous about that particular attitude is when you're saying that if you don't make a pentacle right or consecrate it right, it's going to curse people. To what you're saying in that is that God is a moron and angels are stupid, or at least stupider than you, and they need your direction in order to operate. I'm sorry, it's the other way around.
Right. We need their guidance to help find our way, man. That's what they're there for, and that's what the pentacles are for.
Yeah, the pentacles are there to help us in our spiritual evolution. They're not going to curse people by accident. If it's made incorrectly, I don't think that Metatron's going to look at that and go, well, he made it all funky. I guess I got to go kill that guy now. Like, you think Metatron's that dumb? He's not. He's going to go, oh, yeah, well, that probably could have been made better.
All right, let's take Metatron's like the angel closest to God. So let's just talk about God for a second. If it sounds way too good to be true and too freaking weird to be true, it probably is not true. So like attunements to God, for instance, if you're going out and finding somebody selling services to hook you up and connect your energy to God for the low price of $35 or something like that, that's what your soul is. We are spiritual creatures. We are spirits in meat suits. We are on the earthly plane. We come from the divine. We will return to the divine. We have a chip off the old block that drives us. Guess what? You have your own intercom system pre-installed when you're born. You already have it.
God is free.
God is free. Ta-da!
And you should never have to pay to have to have somebody chant your name in Hebrew so that it gets attached to God.
Well, that's a mega attachment. Did you know about that one? You can have your name like glued to God. And they have this expert apparently with the mega attunement. Now you pay 5 times the amount, but now your name is glued to God because God doesn't know these things.
Right. It's omniscient ish. And you know, again, this is exposing the fact that people that offer these things don't know what they're talking about. The idea of having a attunement to God, it goes against the most core hermetic principle, the foundation of so much magical tradition, which is that the macrocosm is the microcosm. The all is the one, the The one is the all. We are not separate from the divine. The divine is not separate from us. That's the big secret. That's the good news. And to say that you need to have, say that you need to pay, you know, $100, $200 to have your name
glued
to God is just laughable bullshit.
Well, and you also have to realize you do have to put in some of the work yourself with your own spiritual journey. Work does not mean it's hard. It means it's a labor of love. It means it's an interest to you. It means it's something that you pursue to find out what it means to you and where your spiritual ears are so that you can tune in and hear those spiritual voices that are guiding you. It is your journey. Nobody can do that for you. You can't take shortcuts by paying someone a few hundred dollars or a couple hundred dollars and having them glue your name to God. Oh my gosh, if you really want to do that, hey, go for it. Spend your money if that's where you think you need to spend your money. But I am telling you, it's already there in you. You just have to find it. Maybe you just haven't been listening. Maybe you have the wrong attitude. One of the best ways to tap into that, I hate to tell all of you this, Psalm 92. Psalm 92 starts out with the first verse, acknowledging the divine, and then the whole thing makes you your best spiritual self. So get yourself, go to a thrift store, get a copy of the Bible, read Psalm 92. You can download an app for free and get it on your phone. And that has some magic in it right there that is going to help you connect and hear your connection and feel that connection better. Do that every day.
The whole God attunement thing, what it reminds me of in history is back right after the plague, when the Catholic Church started selling indulgences and telling people that you could fast track your way to salvation by basically buying salvation bonds through the church. And they're selling you something you already possess, right? And we look back at indulgences now and go, what silly, stupid people. I can't believe people in Europe fell for that back then. Ha 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 ha. I won't fall for that now. Let me go to this Etsy shop and buy a God attunement. Like, sorry. Barnum Effect is still going strong. There's still people out there that are willing to buy that stuff every day.
Well, and I think really what it boils down to is these people know that people want a spiritual path. They want to find their way. They want to find what's out there. And they're making it like a drive-through. Well, they can't do the work for you. And you already got it in you. You don't need this. So really explore it. And that's why I started this podcast, is to help people find their own way and at the best possible way, the best possible information. Because at the end of the day, it's your spiritual journey. No one can hook that up for you. It's not a stereo. It's not a Netflix account that you can't get your credit card hooked up on and you need some help with because you don't understand technology. It's not like that. This isn't modern day world. This is the core of our being and the core of our existence. And it's right there. It's in you. It's already there.
And the thing of it is, even if you could skirt the work by buying something, why would you want to? It's joyful work. It's like,
it's the only way you learn.
Yeah. You get to make yourself a better person. You get to connect up to beings and intelligences that make you feel great and make you feel great about yourself and give you purpose for your life. Why would you want to take the shortcut on that?
So I guess really all in all, we just wanted to take some time, reconnect with you people, and just remind you, take a step back. If something seems off, something seems a little weird, somebody is spreading rumors and they, I don't care who it is, if they're selling magic stuff, but you've heard from their competitor that it's going to hex you and it's going to blow up your family and stuff, please question this stuff. Step back from it and use these little signs as a way to guide you as to where not to go in your spiritual education. Stay on the right path with honest people. And then when it comes to your money, put it into books that you know are going to educate you. A lot of the books out there have simplified our work down to the simplest form anyway. There really isn't much work to it like there was a couple hundred years ago or even 50 years ago when it comes to magic. There's been so many amazing discoveries. The books out there are so affordable. And if you're going to spend $150 for an attunement to God, oh my gosh, you can spend that money and get 10 or 12 amazing, well-written occult books that are going to do all that for you and more. You'll have more than you even know what to do with for years. And it'll be true information. You'll be doing the work yourself.
Yeah, that really is the way to go. And if you are on Etsy and you want to get something for your practice, as an Etsy seller, I'll tell you this. You want to look for people that are selling you actual, physical, tangible products. Not promises, not well wishes, not spells they may or may not do, not PDFs. Like,
oh, what was that one I was teasing you about? I ran across one on Etsy. I was teasing Tim about it because the person posting was in Minnesota. I was like, this is you, right? And it was the most ludicrous thing for like $4,000 for an invisibility spell or some stupid thing.
It was better than that. She said she would do a ritual to give you all of the possible spiritual powers, which included invisibility.
That's right.
Time travel.
Shape-shifting.
That was, I'm going, you know what? Anybody who pays her $4,000 for this deserves whatever they get.
Oh, and then you were telling me one that somebody had $3,999.99 for the deposit on the magic, and they don't tell you what the actual price tag is until you send your deposit.
It was for Secrets of the Djinn. Now, whatever secret that particular djinn had, I'm telling you, it's not worth $3,000 or whatever they're charging for it. Like, there are people on Etsy who are just looking to take your money. But there are also some really talented artists on Etsy who love their craft and who want to make tools for your practice. And it's okay to buy beautiful things. And it's okay to, you know, to support artists, and it's okay to support authors. But man, you got to be careful, because there are other people out there who are going, you know, they don't care about the art. They don't care about you as a customer. They don't care about your development. They just want your money.
Right.
It should be easy to spot, but I guess for some people it's not. So look for physical, tangible products that are at a reasonable price.
And if you're looking for people to learn from, ask around, see who's happy with the learning material, and see who is encouraging their students to continue to do the work on their own, who is encouraging the students to learn the material that they're presenting, helping you with it. Or are they complicating it so much that you're scared to even try it? It has just got your head spinning. You can't do this. This is too hard. I'm just going to have to buy it. That's a red flag. Are you feeling that defeated from taking a class? Because I've taken those classes. I won't go to them again. That's an infomercial. I hate to tell you that.
You know who does a really good job at that is Taylor.
Taylor's really good.
Taylor Elwood, his books, his classes, his Patreon, they are all worth every cent. He is all about empowerment and getting you to do for yourself and explaining things really well. And he does it in not a condescending way. And he's never told me I couldn't do something. He's always been very encouraging, like, no, just try it. You can do it, man. You can. Here's, try this and this and this. And so he is an example of somebody that I would say is the kind of teacher you want to look for out there.
Absolutely. And then if you are very confused, Miss Aida is just one, but there is a lot of people out there that will just help you with structuring your magic. Find some you trust. Don't just hit up some stranger that you've never talked to or only met a couple of times. And don't tell your personal secrets to people, but find someone trusted in the community that you know is out there to help people. And if you need help structuring something, ask them. Maybe someone provides those services. Those would be worth paying someone for, because that betters you. That's almost like a private tutoring class. So if it helps you with your future endeavors, you're better for it. You learn something from it and it empowers you. That's a good thing. Go for that. If you start relying on someone because you can't do it, you have to have someone do it for you. That's not what magic is. It's very easy to do.
Or if you've got so many classes going on that you feel like you have to do the Pokemon, gotta catch them all mentality. They're only $300 a class, and after you spend $30,000 on me, then I don't know. The point is, yeah, when they have all these classes, and the point of the class is to get you to take the next class. Womp womp.
Or sell you something. But you know, I think this has been great, and I hope we've inspired some people to continue to look out for their own backs and do for themselves. I hope we've made it a little bit simpler and brought to light how ludicrous some of these mentalities are. It's like you're dealing with children or something, and it's just not worth it. It's just not worth it. Avoid them, ghost them, find your own way, because what they'll do is they'll just make you doubt yourself and feel inadequate, and it's not worth it. That's what their job is to make you feel worthless, so you pay them.
Yep. Find somebody that makes you feel worthy of the divine. Find somebody that makes you feel that you can do it. Find somebody that helps you do it. You know, those are the things to look for.
And if you're doing well, you're starting to do something on your own, you find you got some haters, you're probably doing it right. Especially if you've been doing it right all the way and you still got haters. Those are the frauds and those are the jealous people. That tells you who to ghost. So, all right. Well, I think this was good. We'll have to check in again, and then we'll have to reveal all of our secrets and our little activities we've been busy at, and let people in on a little bit of our upcoming festivities that we shall be unleashing on everyone in the future.
Oh, because there's some good ones.
Oh my gosh, we are going to be having so much fun with you guys. All right, well, it looks like your kids are coming up the walk there, walking home from school. He's sitting by his big picture window in his living room, and you got to have some milk and cookies ready for those guys. So
yeah, elementary school is pretty tough.
All right. Well, I guess all there is left to say is keep a smile on your face.
Keep a bounce in your step.
Keep practicing your magic. Stick your money back in your wallet. Spend it on something you really want to spend it on. And go have fun, people. Empower yourself. Do it yourself. You got it in you.
We believe in you.
All there is left to say is bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for sticking around after the show. Oh my gosh, so many changes and so many things to tell all of you about. We are officially in rerun mode. What does that mean for you? Well, hey, if you listen on your favorite podcast app, nothing is going to change. You will always be able to go back and listen to your favorite episodes and guest spots anytime you want, just as you always have. Again, nothing will change for those of you that use your favorite podcast app. Next, the website will change a little bit. It will change to www.podpage.com/random-illusions, or you can listen directly off the host site, www.randomillusions.buzzsprout.com. Links are now in every episode show notes. Check it out. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/GOST Radio, twitter.com/GOST Radio. If you love YouTube, don't forget to subscribe to the Random Illusions Podcast YouTube channel, the GOST Radio YouTube channel, and TikTok. Don't forget to follow us there. Links are down in the show notes. Exclusively for the listener base of Random Illusions, Tim and I are going to continue our coffee.com divinations. Just let us know if you want a rune reading by Tim or a tarot reading by Shasta and what your question is. Give us about 2 business days and we will respond with a thorough answer to your question, giving you some insight and maybe a little inspiration as well. If you would like to follow Tim and I as we jump into our new leadership roles and all of the new projects we are presenting and working on, don't forget to hit us up. Facebook, privately, Tim Cheesebrow, Shasta Michaels, Random Illusions, or just shoot us an email at magic, M-A-G-I-C-K, at randomillusions.com. And we will send you links as to where you can keep tabs on all of our future endeavors and adventures. And hey, you may want to get involved yourself. You never know. All right, keep your eyes and ears peeled. We will be announcing when we will be back. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.